Welcome to the Life by Design podcast with your hosts, Jesslyn and Brian Pearson. We help couples create the wealth they desire by sharing our stories and how we broke through the barriers to create our wealth.
We are the creators of the Discover, Define, Design framework, which supports you in resolving conflict and communicating better. More recently, due to high demand, we decided to create the Relationships, Riches, and Real Estate segment of our teaching. After all, who does not want to be wealthy, right?
Yes. So our topic this week is meaning. So what meaning we put on things. For example, why does the same situation have a different meaning for you or for I? I'm going to use a real simple example here, like eating an apple. When you're eating an apple, that is what it is. You're just eating the apple. But someone might say, this apple is delicious. I love apples, crisp and juicy, and they make me happy. Then there can be someone on the other side who hates apples. And so they put a meaning onto it that apples are gross, they're disgusting. So it's a different meaning for a different person depending on who it is and what they put on that simple situation of eating an apple.
Yeah, the exact same action, two different like feelings and outcomes to that exact same action. Another super important thing that pretty well the whole world puts on a whole lot of meaning on is money. And that happens a lot in relationships. You have two different people inside that relationship and they have two very different ways of viewing money. Some view it as bad, some view it as good, some view it as they don't understand it, some view it as I got this, like let's go make a bunch of money. And that can cause a lot of conflict in relationships, even though a dollar is a dollar is a dollar. And there's really no difference between the physical form of money.
Right. So meaning kind of comes down to our interpretation or our intention of whatever it is we're looking at.
Yeah. It's literally what you've laid on top of whatever the situation or object is. Like in the case of money, you've put something on top of it, which it really not it is not.
Right. So the first thing we really want to discuss is how meaning came from a situation a long time ago that you probably don't even remember.
Nope. Most people, I would say, don't have any idea why they've come up with the meaning for just about anything. Like why they like a thing, why they don't like a thing. Why did you start liking apples in the first place?
Right.
Why did you not like apples in the first place? Why did you come up with your opinions on money in the first place? Like can you really recall the moment where you went as a 3 or 4 or 5 year old, maybe, aha, like this is what I think about money. My parents said this, and this is my opinion. And all of a sudden, the whole next 20, 30, 40, 50 years of your life is defined by that one moment that you can't even recall.
So true. You know, money is a great topic for me because, I mean, we came from two different backgrounds when it comes to money. And I was raised without much money, obviously, as I think I've shared several times. And we worked really hard on the farm to make ends meet. And we didn't have a lot of money. And I watched my mom, who came from a lot less money than even what we had, and she saved every penny. She would hide it, she would store it. And I get it, right? And so that's what I grew up watching and learning. And so as an adult, I started hoarding money as well, thinking like, I never know when that rainy day is going to come and if I'm going to need it. And I never put much thought past why I do that. Is that the right thing to do? Should I be looking at it differently? Until later in life when we really started exploring money.
Yeah, later in life, both of us started to really like analyze and get retrospective and go deep into some of the reasons why we came to be the people we are today. And then all of a sudden you realize like, hey, you know what? Like this wasn't really created by me. This was created by my 5-year-old self or my 10-year-old self. And it's really not who I am today, but I'm still living into it. Like your mom, for example, still to this day, saves money like crazy. Like we're trying to help your parents out and we're finding all kinds of stuff that she's like squirreled away, literally like a squirrel.
Yeah. More bank accounts than I can count on both hands. I'm like, why? Yeah. Why? But it's interesting because, I mean, obviously I can't remember what age, definitely mid probably to late 30s, where we went to and did, it was called a money clinic at the time. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I had to really delve in to what money meant to me and where I dug up that meaning. And that's when my first aha came, was like, oh man, like definitely stems from my mom. I picked up my mom's genetics when it comes to the money. And I say that because my dad's very different with how he deals with money, as is my older sister. She's more like my dad. But to dig into it and go, man, this is my mom. And is that who I want to be when it comes to money management and my thoughts around money? And it was a real eye opener for me to kind of shift and wait, what is my opinion of money and what do I want to do with money? How do I want to see that?
Yeah. You started to own it instead of it owning you for the last like 30 years of your life. But yeah, as you mentioned, we came from very different backgrounds, but here's a really good example on where meaning came from, is that you look at yourself like, you know, you came from a very poor background, but for example, there were times when in my middle class life, as you were saying, I viewed us as poor.
Right.
Right. Because like we weren't able to afford certain things. And I remember one incident where my parents were deciding on whether or not they wanted to buy a boat, because we would go up to a town just out of our main town here and fish with our uncle and auntie.
Yeah.
And as we were discussing whether we're at the boat shop, like deciding to buy this boat, and just something in the way that my parents approached it, I something struck me as a kid, and I was like, but like, wait a minute, if we buy this boat, are we going to have to like eat Kraft dinner for the rest of our lives? And that was the idea, but I had about money, even though my parents had significantly more money than your parents at that time. It's like, I still viewed us as poor and potentially right on the edge of like destitution, right?
Yeah. And it's interesting. I remember this was years ago. I was speaking to a longtime friend of mine, and like we grew up, we went to school together. And I remember her just commenting once. She goes, yeah, I loved coming to your house. She goes, you guys had money. We were so poor. And I'm like, what?
Yep.
Like if you're poor, like, and I'm poor, like how poor are you? Like, it's just kind of, I think the concept of how we perceive things. And it was interesting for her. I'm like, well, why did you think we had money? Cause like we busted our high knees on the farm to just eat. And she's like, well, you guys made chocolates at Christmas and you decorated. And I'm like, oh, we did. But that was one of our few things as a family that we really kind of put our energy towards is, and again, we homemade our chocolates and homemade our decorations, but she didn't do that. And she probably viewed it as, wow, they must have more money because they can do this.
Yeah. It looked like riches to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Money, meaning goes so far past money too. Like in that situation you just brought up, I hear, you know, the fact that your friend saw your parents making homemade chocolates, you know, little cute mice and turtles and stuff like that. I've had them. They still come around every Christmas. But like, imagine, right, what that looks like to someone whose maybe parents didn't really pay attention to them too much. I'm not saying your friend, it was in that situation, but just generally in life, imagine what that looks like. The amount of meaning that person would have put onto like homemade chocolates and getting that, all that love and that attention and that Christmas spirit inside of that household would have been like this other planet, like for them.
Gold and riches. Yeah.
It almost wouldn't have been understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely chances are your meaning on money, it started probably with your parents, if not your grandparents or your great grandparents. It goes way back. Something to explore for sure.
You can do a lot of personal development. And this is one thing that I learned about trying to find out where the meaning comes from. You won't probably find it. What you need to do though is you need to keep looking and just assume that you're never gonna find that moment where it was like the aha of and genesis of what your meaning on whatever situation you're looking for that meaning on and where it came from. You're just keep looking, because you will drive yourself mental like I did trying to find the exact moment and thinking I'm a failure because I can't find the meaning, the genesis of the meaning that I'm looking for. And then in the end, what happened to me was I couldn't find the meaning of the meaning.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
You did really struggle with it.
There was a perfectionism there where I had to find the moment.
Yeah.
And I just encourage everybody out there to just look. Just look. And if the first thing you find is like from 3 months ago, fantastic. If the first thing you find is from 5 years ago, fantastic. Just keep looking because you'll just keep unlayering all the meaning of what you're looking for. And you'll discover very interesting things about yourself.
100%. And I remember that because when we were working on this assignment or whatever it was we were digging into for money, I do remember mine, and I did remember mine, and it was very clear and concise for me. I think for you, you're like, wait a minute, mine's got to be that easy too, right? But I just remember as a teenager, I can't remember how old I was exactly, but I would say between 13 and 15, I remember very clearly, I can still see it. I'm standing in my kitchen on the farm watching my parents fight, and it was money. That's all they ever really fought about was just because money, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember telling my young self then saying, I will never raise a family without money.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fast forward decades later and look at everything I put in place before I even had a family.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because I was 34 before we had our first son and we were very well established, but for years, I was not even going to have kids. Like, I think I was 28 before I finally went, well, you know, maybe I might want to have kids. But whereas a lot of women generally around 21, 22, they think they want to have kids. And I was like, no, right? But I was focused on a career and making money and making sure I was never in that impoverished state.
Yeah. That leads into one of the other things we want to talk about. And that is that your meaning grows stronger the more you experience a situation. So like in that example you just gave where you witnessed your parents fighting about money, it almost for sure was not the very first situation.
No.
But you keep putting meaning on watching your parents fight about money.
Yep.
And I had very similar experiences with my parents, but like that build up and like just brick by brick by brick by brick puts meaning on top of the meaning. And all of a sudden you're so deep into the meaning that you really can't even figure out where it came from.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing you got to watch now that we know, you know, we really are conscious of what did that situation that just happened really mean?
Yeah.
And is it the meaning that we want to put on it? Because if it is, then great. Like, let's let it grow stronger. If it's not, okay, let's nip this in the bud and figure out how we can change the meaning over that situation. Because it's going to be habitual. It'll just start repeating until the meaning grows so strong, it is very, very hard to break.
Oh, for sure. Like, obviously, the meaning I put on money from a kid right up until who knows how old I was. I mean, there are times we've had conversations, fights, arguments, debates.
Oh, tons.
Because we had such different views on money. And I remember when we took, I think it was, might have been the money clinic as well. That was the first time I really understood the perspective of the difference between poverty versus abundance. Like, I just kind of was like, wait, what? Cause I had a poverty mentality and I'm okay with admitting that. But I didn't really understand the meaning of having a poverty mentality and how it impacted me as a whole, not necessarily just saving and money, but like, how I viewed the world, how I spent things, whether I'd go out or not, whether I'd take a vacation or not, whether I'd buy this or that for you or for the kids. Like, it was all poverty mentality. And then when I understood that and learned and was able to shift to the abundance mentality, it changed everything as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. The way you viewed it really kind of threw you for a loop sometimes too.
Oh, yeah.
It was almost like you were in and out of rehab.
Yeah, this wasn't overnight. It was years for me to really, I would relapse. I would be like, no, we don't have, stop spending. And I would go cold turkey. I would literally just stop spending everything. And you're like, well, why don't we have this? I'm like, oh no, we don't have money.
It got to the point where I was very hesitant to say certain things about money because I didn't know which way you were going to swing. Yeah. I didn't know if you were going to just like cut all the bank accounts out or all of a sudden empty them all out, right? Like, it, you know, were you going to just stop spending everything at all, or all of a sudden go on a binge? And it was very difficult for me to interpret what I was going to say versus like how you were going to react, because you were still in that swing of figuring out what money and wealth and riches and everything really, really meant to you. And now years later, you know, we're much more habitual again, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And now the swing is much more gentle, right? And we understand, for that's the biggest thing, is we understand why we swing one way or the other. Like, it's less about like some meaning from the past that we put onto it.
Yeah. It's not, oh my, poverty, we're not going to have enough. Now I think we view it more as, okay, if our situation's changing, like, for example, your contract that you're currently on is ending this week. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, now we know that income isn't guaranteed. Your income for that piece of work isn't coming in. So we reviewed our budget. Okay, what are we going to need to spend for the rest of this year, corporately as well as personally? What does that look like if it's just me on the contract? How are we going to spend our money? Is there anywhere we should maybe cut back on? And again, that's not a swing of poverty versus abundance. That's a, wait a minute, we know our situation is changing. That's going to impact the money. Let's review everything as a whole so we can have a plan moving forward. And then I imagine if you decide to get another contract, we'll review it again.
Yeah.
And just see what that looks like.
Because we've slowly changed the meaning of what we put onto those things.
Yeah.
So like in the past, that meaning of ending the contract would have been like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah. Like we've got to do everything ourselves. Yeah. We've got to cut any help we have, right?
Yeah, we're broke tomorrow if we don't get another contract.
Exactly.
which is totally not the reality at all. Even back then, it was not the reality.
True.
But we were, again, the situation was so flavored and so colored by what our past experiences were and all the layers that we had put onto it, that we literally would think we were going broke if we didn't have a contract.
Yep.
And then come 2020, you know, the pandemic happens. We decide to go build a business with some partners.
Yep.
And I don't think we pulled a paycheck for a year and a half.
No, we didn't.
And what happened? We were relatively okay with it. There were some issues inside of it. Like, you know, you building a business, that there's always issues, but the point is that we went a year and a half without virtually anything coming in.
Yep.
And we had a little bit of to support us, not like, definitely not the full month of expenses to support us.
Yeah.
But we had such a vastly different meaning put towards money and wealth that we were able to manage that year and a half. Whereas before, we could barely manage 2 weeks without like freaking out, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's something that you really got to ask yourself is like, if you experience a situation and you don't like how it feels, start looking for a different meaning that you need to put on it. So we did the same thing.
Yeah.
We said, hey, you know what? There's something bigger. There's something better to life. We don't like the feeling of not having a contract or not having a job or not having this. How can we change the meaning that we're putting onto that?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we go build a, you know, $20 million business with some partners, don't pull a paycheck for a year and a half, and we're A-okay with it.
Yeah. That's exactly. You said it very well. And that just goes to show like meaning today can change tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. The habit you put onto it of whatever meaning you're layering on top of that situation, whether it's how much or what you think about your partner, how much you think about money, how much you think about your kids, family, everything, you've habitually put that feeling into place, whether you remember it or not. But now is your chance to habitually review every feeling that comes through a situation and actually have the opportunity to decide a different meaning for it.
Yeah, I know a great story we love to share. We've probably shared it on previous podcasts, but all around real estate and just our mindset on it. And, you know, we bought our first property together in 2009. And I just fell in love with the concept of real estate investing right there. You handed me the keys, or the realtor maybe did. And I was like, ah, and I told myself every 2 years we're buying a new property. But I told myself, not you. And I stayed on track.
You did tell me.
Not till later, though.
I 100% did not agree with it at the time.
And I'm not sure you shared that either. But we did stay on track until I think it was 2017, end of 2016, early 17, where, you know, you came home and you're like, I'm done. Like, I cannot manage anymore. We're maxed out. And like, that's no more properties. And of course, little me on the inside was like, like, no, we're not done. This is our wealth. This is what we're building. You can manage more. You just don't know it yet. Yep. Right. But so then, you know, as I shared, I went and did a bunch of Google while you were out of town and looking at one of our properties in another province. And I found this real estate investment networking group and I signed you up.
Yeah.
And you were mad. Oh, you were mad. You didn't want to go.
Initially, yeah. Initially.
But you went because, yep, well, I'd already paid for it. And that was one of the best moves I and you ever made. And it shifted your whole meaning around owning real estate, managing real estate, and, yep, what that looks like.
Yeah, yeah. The meaning that I had yesterday completely changed from the actions you took today, mm-hmm, and in that day back then.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden tomorrow, today, you know, we have a much larger portfolio. I spend very little time managing it because, again, I asked myself, like, what's the meaning of this? And I, yep, started to layer different actions on top of it. But I remember two things that happened that changed my perspective and my meaning around real estate. And that was, one, we were listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
What did the guy say? He just said something like, you know, oh yeah, I bought a house and like I did this and that. And like, then I took $30,000 out of the house and it's rented. And I'm like, wait a minute, like the house paid you $30,000 and you're still renting it? Mm-hmm. That was one thing. And cause it blew my mind. I didn't even realize you could do that in real estate. And then I remember going to that meeting that you signed me up for, and, yep, I was all annoyed. And then I met a guy who just very flippantly said, oh yeah, you know, I'm on track to like have $25,000 of passive income per month in like probably less than 10 years. And I'm like, what? Like, you can do that in real estate? So part of it was just exposure, right? Never, yeah, been exposed to things like that. And all of a sudden the meaning I had around real estate changes. And now it's like, probably, even though I don't spend a lot of time on it, it's actually one of my number one focuses. Like in my, yeah, head, I'm just like, oh, I love my real estate. Oh, like I love my tenants. Oh, I love going and changing out a dishwasher. I don't change the dishwasher, but like buying a new dishwasher for my tenants, right?
Yeah.
Because it's important to me now.
But if you think back to us, what we're calling yesterday versus today, before you shifted your meaning around real estate, like, tenants were a pain in your butt. Every time something broke, you had to fix. It was like, oh, now what? Whereas now it's like, you know, woo, this is building our wealth. We got this, right? And again, it's what the meaning we put on it.
Yeah, it doesn't drag me down. I'm not going to say I'm like super, super excited to go and run out to a property.
Well, fair.
Yeah, but I do understand why I need to go to a property. And there's absolutely no energy expenditure for me going to managing my real estate. Like, it's not like a job where, which you don't like, and you come home from that job every day and you're exhausted. You barely have any energy or time for your family or your friends. That part of real estate does not do anything for me anymore. I can go and deal with like the worst tenant situation. Not that I have a whole lot of those anymore,
but
I can go and deal with that and then come home and have supper and chat with the kids. And it's no big deal, right? Because what I've put onto real estate is so different.
Yeah. And I obviously see it and I recognize it. And it's a lot to do with like how you feel around it. Like before, it was dragging you down, like you said. And then when you had all these ahas of like, oh my gosh, that's the kind of money you can make. I'm going to love this because it's going to help me long term. And you just, the feeling around it shifted, right, in the situation, and it totally showed.
Yeah. I actually don't know if I ever told you this story, but I went for lunch with a friend, a couple of high school friends a few years ago now, I think, a couple of years ago now. And I was telling him about our real estate portfolio. And one of the guys who I went to high school with was like, Brian, do you realize like in high school, you were like, real estate is horrible and I'm never buying property. And And he was telling me all these stories about what he remembered of me back in high school saying, talking about real estate. And here I am sitting at lunch with these guys owning a couple million dollars and or more. I can't remember how much I owned back then of real estate. Yeah. And they're telling me like stories about how I hate real estate. And that's their opinion of me back then. And so it's just amazing from high school to like buying my a condo, which I did exceptionally well on in my early 20s, to meeting you, to like going back into like not liking real estate, to like, oh my God, we got to build the biggest portfolio ever.
Yes. That's funny. I don't think you did share that story.
No, I'm not sure I ever did. But yeah, it was really funny having those things thrown back at me and going, oh, really? Like I was that way. And I can't even conceive myself being that way back then, right? But even in just what I just said, you know, there's four different versions of me and all the different meaning I put onto this one thing called real estate. And it's just like this way, that way, and the other way.
Yeah.
Same person, same object, same situation, completely different outcomes from how I just felt about it and how I treated the meaning around it.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a great story. So I'm going to recap the takeaways. The first one, meaning came from a situation a long time ago that you probably don't even remember. Takeaway two, meaning grows stronger the more you experience a situation. And third takeaway, meaning today can be changed tomorrow. Our next topic is going to be committed versus attached. So if there's a certain outcome you want to achieve, you got to ask yourself, are you committed to achieving that outcome or are you attached to everything that surrounds it?
Mm-hmm. Really important to think about. So we release podcasts every 2 weeks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast app to journey with us and create your life by design.
Thanks for listening to the Life by Design podcast with your hosts, Jesslyn and Brian.